Blog Talk Radio.
Talking about Urban Meyer, we're going to be talking about Jalen Ramsey sounding off. We're going to have Nieder Cook. He's going to call in and talk some F1. I'm assuming people are going to be popping in and out of our live feed, giving us the WWE SummerSlam updates. We're also going to be talking these MLB pennant races. You see I'm rocking the gear because we about to come for that first place tonight. You understand what I'm saying? It's real up in here. What else we got? Yeah. So we're going to get this thing, man, we're going to get this thing jumping off, man. So what I need y'all to do, man, I need y'all to get in where you fit in, as always, on Sunday night, Hodgepodge Sports Show. Our call-in number is 646-668-8083. My junior co-host, she's not here. She's out living it up tonight at an amusement park with her second family. So you got me and you got Kevin. Well, that should be enough to get this party started. Man, so look here, man, let's just go ahead and do what we do, right? You know, the leadoff is always with my man from Jasper, Tennessee, my man Ben Roberts down there nursing a torn rotator cuff. What's up, Ben?
Not much, man. How's it going?
It's going well, man. How you feeling?
I'm just in pain. They gave me some steroid shots, so, you know, that's better, you know. But got
well, that's good. Yeah. So what you want to talk about on the leadoff tonight, man?
Well, I want to give everybody just a lacrosse update real fast. That's cool with you.
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
Of course, number one and number two have not changed. And it's Yale is number one. Your boys up there in Maryland is number two. Then you got Denver, Albany, Duke, Loyola, Johns Hopkins, Notre Dame, Cornell, and Virginia. That's your top ten for your men's lacrosse.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
And, so it's going to be kind of interesting. You know, it looks like now you're more familiar with it, and I'd like to ask you this because, you know, that's your territory. That's a sport that's big where you're from. I mean, the best teams are in your area. does lacrosse kind of play out like baseball or softball, where basically, you know, you're going to have some top perennial teams that pretty much run the table all year and can run it in the postseason, or do they have some fluke little random stuff like an NCAA men's basketball or men's baseball, where there'll be some little small school team that has a consistent chance of bumping up through the tournament? You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do get what you're saying. That's a good question. And typically with lacrosse, it stays true to form. Your top teams are always the upper echelon. Every once in a while, you might get a small school that's able to make a run, but typically the cream rises to the top in lacrosse. So you're always going to see your Duke, your North Carolina, your Syracuse, your Maryland, Loyola, Maryland, Johns Hopkins, James Madison, teams from that area. You're always going to see them making a good run in the tournament. Somebody from the ACC is going to get hot, and somebody from the Big Ten. Maybe it's Ohio State. Maybe this year it's Penn State because Penn State's programs are coming along. You don't see too many teams from, you know, down south coming in and doing well on the cross. So typically it's going to be your Northeast to North South, so to speak. Teams that prevail. And the same thing on the women's side as well. It's typically the Northeast to the Mid South, as we'll call it down this way. Teams we shine. But like anything, though, right? Anybody can get hot, but typically you're looking for your top teams to ride on through.
Yeah, that, I figured it was that much. They have lacrosse is down here in Tennessee, and I had a cousin. She actually played on a real good elite private school team, and you know, it's just the as far as consistently of keeping up with the sport, I'm literally just the playoff guy a lot of times with lacrosse, but I didn't know exactly how it would round out, you know, from the regular season. Like, you know, sometimes, like in girls' sports especially, if you're a top 10 ranked team in a girls' sport, I mean, there's a chance you're always in, like, the Sweet 16 or whatever almost consistently, you know?
Right. And, the thing about lacrosse, it's really playing up steam. I know, especially around here, Madison's in the, going into the third grade, and they're already sending flyers out for lacrosse camps and stuff like that. So it's real big in this area. It is probably the biggest thing that Maryland have going on sports-wise. And soccer is a close second. I mean, when we went to register for softball, I think it was last year or maybe the year before, they had lost so much participation in that young age and in middle age group soccer. But she has no interest in playing lacrosse, so I don't think I can in the field. But it is a big deal. Definitely Maryland, and I know it's picking up not only here but across the country. So I think that's going to be something up and coming. And the more TV time they get, of course, that doesn't hurt anything.
Yeah. I was just kind of curious. That's part of the reason why I like you know, when I started keeping up with this and started doing research on previous years, I was like, oh crap, Hodge, he's been up in that area this whole time. I'd never really realized, you know, timeline wise, how much it was a big lacrosse area up there. Cause, you know, cause just never put two and two together, just never really paid a lot of attention. You know, like when we've done research, and I do long term deep research on some of them that I'm not familiar with. You know, a couple of weeks ago, had that congratulations to the California schools for winning the national championship in like beach volleyball and water polo and other things. And I when I was doing my research, I didn't even know the Pac-12 has like almost all the championships. Like they lead all the other conferences because they got all those beach teams and water polo teams and everything else, and they just like dominate in those sports. That's kind of impressive. Like, it's interesting.
Yeah, it is. And it's a lot of fun too. It's a good watch and something really good to keep up with. I would think that we'll get a lot of traction in the group on that too, because we have a lot of people that play lacrosse in the group, especially on the female side. I know we got a couple of female members that went to Towson University and played. So, you know, I think the more we talk about it and bring it, the more participation we'll get in our space as well on it.
Oh yeah, definitely, man. Hey, let me real fast hit the women's lacrosse poll as well.
Let's do it.
Number one is Stony Brook. Number two is Boston College. Number three is Maryland. Number four is James Madison. Number five is North Carolina. Number six is Townsend. Number seven is Northwestern. Number eight is Loyola. Number nine is Florida. And number 10 is Penn. And, oh, by the way, those top 10 teams have not changed since last week. So that's the same top 10 for the women.
And I would be shocked if it changes at all after that. But that's a real strong top 10 as well.
Yeah. It's impressive to see. I always love the sports where the championship has opportunities for the smaller schools to get into it. You know, because they got other teams receiving votes, but that didn't make it in the top of the rankings. With John Hopkins, Dartmouth, then Virginia, Penn. No, Penn State, rather, USC, Cornell, Lehigh, and Jacksonville. So I like seeing like some of those smaller named schools. But of course, you know, it makes the sport, in my opinion, kind of a little bit more authentic.
Yeah, it does. That's a good call, Ben. It really does.
Yep.
Man, a lot of good things going on, man. Thank you for that. What else is on your mind besides lacrosse, man? You always do a good job of keeping us up to date with that stuff.
Well, I mean, I didn't know if you wanted to go into Jalen Ramsey, or if you want to hold that off with more of our callers coming in.
Let me get Kevin on the line, man, and then we will definitely get into Jalen Ramsey. We're going to talk to Jalen Ramsey, Urban Meyer, Maryland football. So Hang tight for that. We're going to talk about all that good stuff.
Okay, yeah, no problem. And yeah, let's just go to whatever you want to talk about, man.
Let's do this real quick, man. Let's bring him in. Let's bring him in. The man, the myth, the legend. 717, last 460. What's good, partner? Your Hodgepodge Sports Show. Who we rolling with?
What's going on, fellas? How's everybody Sunday going?
Oh, man, it's going well, man. How about yours?
I'm sitting here doing some work for the show tomorrow, just going through some things, looking at some topics I might throw out there tomorrow.
I hear you.
But other than that, man, just sitting there chilling.
I hear
ready to talk sports.
Yeah, man, let's do it, man. We just went through the lacrosse updates and let everybody know how Maryland's representing there. Ben wants to jump right into Jalen Ramsey, man. So, Ben, go ahead and kick it off.
Well, I mean, for any of our listeners that have been keeping up with anything, Jalen Ramsey just took his own personal liberty this past weekend to literally pretty much go off any starting quarterback in the NFL. And a bunch of quarterbacks ranging from Joe Flacco to whoever, Matt Ryan and everybody else, just a few hours ago, they've been releasing official press releases where Jalen Ramsey's called them weak, cowards, they don't play well, and it's literally turned into, over the weekend, a little hodgepodge, no pun intended, of drama in the NFL.
Yeah, you know, here's my take on it, right? I think anytime that you're playing a careful about the comments they make, and
yeah.
You have to be ready to defend yourself, but not only yourself but your teammates. So I'm not really sure a good look for a Jacksonville Jaguars player to talk about anybody's quarterback or Blake Bortles is your quarterback. That's my first take on it. Now it's one thing to attack a position that you might be playing against, so to speak. Like say he called out a certain receiver. I can deal with that a little bit more because that's a one-on-one matchup. But, you know, he's talking about quarterbacks that lit him up. You understand what I'm saying? He's calling guys out that got rings. He's saying Joe Flacco is no good. Joe Flacco has a Super Bowl ring. What do you have, Jalen? Just like, who was it? Golden Tate fired back. You talk about Matt Stafford, but what happened last time you played? He was on the bench crying because we lit you up. Andrew Luck, when he played against Andrew Luck, I think Andrew Luck was 11 for 14. For 112 yards and a touchdown pass to his receiver. So, you know, I don't mind the bravado. I understand the macho part of it. When you're in football, you need that edge. But I think that when you come out and you say certain things, you need to be careful about what you say. And this is on the heels of him just going off on a reporter. So clearly this kid has some issues and he's not even respecting his own team. If you get suspended, we just talked about this last week as the show ended, right, Kev? About how he was suspended for a week. And you're getting suspended for a week because your teammates are getting in a fight and you're attacking a reporter that you can't get along with. And then on top of that, now I understand that these comments that he made were way before that because it was on the GQ article. But your team is good. Your team is good. Your defense is really good. But I still go back to my first comment. How are you going to talk trash about anybody's quarterback when you got Blake Bortles? Is that your quarterback? And then maybe to his defense, maybe he was taking up for Blake because, you know, everybody was calling Blake out last year saying he was garbage and things like that. So maybe that's his way of firing back. I'm not really sure. Go ahead, Kev.
Yeah, you know, I always like to play devil's advocate when it comes to stuff like this. And
right.
I think basically what he's doing here is he's directing it to the quarterbacks that he probably have to play against this year. To try to prove a point to them, get them off their game plan, per se. But for him to come out and say what he said, I'm gonna say Flacco, for example. We all know that Flacco, he's a quarterback that manages the team well. The year he won Super Bowl, they had a great defense. So that defense kind of stood tall and helped him win the Super Bowl. After that, he's got big pay, got paid big money, but he hasn't produced the way they thought he was going to produce. And I'm not going to say that the guy sucked because he's playing professional football. I'm not. But in my personal opinion, there is some flaws in his game that people can see. And if he plays anywhere like he played last year, this year, then he probably won't be starting quarterback for Baltimore Ravens for a long period of time. You got Lamar Jackson down there, and you got RG3, who both look good in preseason. I think maybe RG3 might be on his way out, going somewhere else, because sometimes when guys say things about certain players, it's a mind game for them. You know, did we come out with Michael George? He talked trash to guys on the basketball court. Did we criticize when Larry Bird? Did we criticize other professional athletes when they came out and talked trash about other players? You know, but again, like Patrick said, I think that Bortles did one heck of a job last year, because his job was in jeopardy last year. They got to the AFC Championship game, and my personal opinion, I don't care what nobody say, I think the game was fixed for them not to win. Because what he did well against Pittsburgh, he did not do the same thing against the Patriots. He didn't use his feet to get the first down like he did against the Pittsburgh Steelers. He never ran the ball at all. You know what I'm saying? So if you go back and look at what have you done for me lately, he has a point. You know what I'm saying? It's as simple as that. He has a point. They got to the AFC Championship game and could have probably maybe one or two players away from making it to the Super Bowl. So I understand what he said. I ain't saying I agree with everything, you know, because a certain way we go about talking about people, and, you know, to go out and say the guy sucks, I don't agree with that. Now, is the quarterback play in NFL bad? Overall, it is, because you look at the situation of quarterbacks now in NFL, and then look at their backup quarterback. You know what I'm saying? When, like, the Eagles go out and they sign Hackenberger to a contract, and I tell you right now, as a Cincinnati fan, he sucks. And I'm just going to say that. He's terrible. He's a terrible leader. He doesn't take responsibility for his actions on the field, but they signed him to a contract, and I would like to know why. Because he's not that good. He hasn't had the opportunity to really play in the pros, but why they signed this guy, of all people, to that crap thing? You know, I'd have been okay if maybe O'Brien from Houston would have signed him, because he made the kid look good in college. You know what I'm saying? But again, you know, quarterback play, you take your starters and then you look at your starting quarterback in the NFL and you look at the backup, there's a big drop off. Like, you look at your left tackle, and you look at your backup left tackle, there's a drop off. So he had some good points in there, the way he went about saying it. I think he was a little harsh with it. But hey, you know, it's the name of the game. Try to get in your head and make them focus on something else other than playing against you.
No, that's a good point. I think a lot of what you said is valid, and I'll come back to some of the things, because I live in Baltimore, so I have a good feel for the Ravens, and I can answer the question about Christian Hackenberg as well. In the comment section, Demetrius Etheridge said, Ramsey just took the spotlight off his own QB, and now everyone will be focusing on him and his play. And that's a good point, and I hope that kid has brought enough players in the mental capacity to handle that, because it's one thing to call people out and not have anything said back to you, and then it's another thing to put your game under the microscope and then be dissected by everybody. You know, Hodgepodge Sports, the Barbershop, ESPN, Fox Sports 1, NFL Network, right? CBS, NBC, ABC, Kalamazoo. They're all going to be coming at him in different areas, and they're going to be looking at different things. So let's hope that he can stand up to that. And the one thing that you said about how we don't criticize other people talking, I think there's a little bit of a difference. I think when you talk trash to your opponent on the court, on the field, that's to be expected. When you get between the lines or you step in on the hard court, that's to be expected. But you don't really see too many star players coming out and criticizing other players in the manner that this guy did. And also, Kevin, I would say, what has he done in the league to be able to talk that trash and not be criticized, right? So we can say that we didn't say anything to Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, but their careers, their pedigree, they speak for themselves. They've kind of earned that right to say whatever they want because they were the best and still are some of the best that ever played the game that they played. So what I would ask anybody that wants to defend Jalen Ramsey, and you can come at me right here tonight, 646-668-8083. We'll be here at 8 o'clock. What has this young man done to deserve a pass on what he said? With that being said, let's get our next caller on the line here. Man, it's taking a little bit. 973, last 46294. You're on Hodgepodge Sports with Patrick, Kevin, and Ben. Who are we speaking to?
Good evening, gentlemen. This is Lou from Jersey.
What's up, Lou from Jersey?
All right. Well, I want to switch to baseball for, if I may. As we're coming down to the last 6 weeks of the season, I think I'm going to be a little bit concerned about the Yankees. I mean, they've been kind of being hit with injuries, and it looks like the lead in the wild card is slipping a bit. Do they got enough gas left in the tank to pull through? I don't think they're going to probably catch the Red Sox for the division in the American League East, but do they got enough to take it for the one of the two wild card spots?
I'm gonna let Kevin lead this off because I know Kevin had posted this question in his own speech, and he might have talked about it. So Kevin, I'm gonna let you lead with that.
I'm gonna say this about the Yankees. They didn't prepare themselves for what's happening right now. And the sad part about it is that they definitely have a great team, but you know, they're not going to catch Boston. They're on fire right now. And you got the you have Oakland A's right now that, if I'm not mistaken, are tied with Houston and place right now. So the wild card thing is going to be tough. That's not even a given for them right now. You don't know when Judge's going to be back, because now they're saying it may be out longer than what they expected. So I think that the possibility of them making the playoffs, getting a wild card, is going to be really tough for them right now. Unless they can come out and just start winning some games, I mean, winning a lot of games, it's going to be really tough for them. Because you look at their record right now, and they've won three in a row so far, so they're on the right track. They're 78-46. Only people they got to really deal with for the wild card would probably be Houston, Atlanta, Houston, Oakland, and Seattle, who are both 70-win teams, but the Yankees have won 78 games. So they're in a driver's seat as far as I'm concerned, as far as getting that wild card slot. But they can't have no hiccups in the month of September at all. They can't lose four in a row here or lose four in a row there. They got to be consistently winning games. They got to win more than they do. As far as what they're doing right now. Now, I'm looking at their schedule, okay, and they're playing this from September. Let's see, where are we at here? We're in August, okay. They have to play Miami, they play Baltimore, they play White Sox, and they play Detroit. After that, it gets a little sticky, icky, because now you got Oakland, Seattle, you got Minnesota, you got Toronto. You got two games with Boston. You end the season with Boston. So the best thing that can happen for the Yankees is those last three games against Boston don't mean anything to Boston. And win, lose, or draw, they'll be in. But now you're talking about the Boston Red Sox, and you're talking about the Yankees who don't like each other. So they're not going to go out there and give it to them. But the 29th and 30th of September at Boston, those are going to be meaningful games because those could be the games right there that determine that wild Yankees in the wild card or not. I just think that they didn't do due diligence as far as preparing for guys that got hurt like this, and to have Doug get hurt, you know, and things that make that sets you back a little bit. Pitching is seems to be okay, but I think Sonny, this might be in the Yankees uniform. I don't see him coming back next year. I don't know if he's a free agent or not, but they might end up getting rid of him because he really hasn't pitched the way they thought he was going to pitch. I see it in the offseason. I see the Yankees getting a better bullpen and getting a better rotation bat wise, and probably looking at their farm system next year to beef up if it were to happen again with these guys.
Ben,
all right. There seems to be a bit of a health problem with the players in the major league this year. I mean, one player had almost like a life and death situation a few days ago. Another one with a foot and mouth disease. Is it me? Is there something really wrong with the health of major league baseball players this season, as in past seasons?
You know what's funny though is that he had a hand, mouth, and feet disease, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I found that to be weird in a way.
Yeah.
For him to have that, and I mean, it's threatened his life too. So, you know, what is he doing outside of baseball to have that issue be brought to him? You know, as far as health concerns.
Well, listen, you never know what kind of charity work these guys are doing and what foundations they have. You know, like Noah Syndergaard, you know, he was hanging out with kids in day camp and stuff like that. And that's how he contracted it. I don't know about Leotis Martin, but I think injuries this year have been fewer and then far between than past seasons. I think though some teams really need to evaluate their medical staffs, like the Mets being one, because they just keep the same injuries. So I think that's it. But hey Ben, I wanted to get your take on Lou's question before I bring the next caller on that I know is a Yankee fan. Do you think the Yankees have enough left in the tank to hold on to their wild card spot?
No, I don't, because I see them making too many errors and not being able to last long in the innings. You know, we discussed this a couple of weeks ago. Remember, we were talking about the mechanics of baseball.
Yes, we were.
I don't really see them being able to pull out. Now, don't get me wrong, they can, but I they look like a team that's just worn down, man.
You know, that's a good call. Mm-hmm. I think once Judge got hurt, I think that was a big blow to them because that kid is a star. And then I think when Trevor Reno started to suffer, come back down to earth a little bit, I think that really talked about their pitching depth. C.C. Sabathia is now on the disabled list, but that's an every year occurrence. So I don't think that's really a shock. I think a lot of it will come down to depth, like Kevin mentioned. They got a lot of young players playing, and they got a lot of guys that can hit. Defensively, they don't seem to be that bad. Their bullpen is a strength, but I'm surprised it's not a bigger strength than what it is. At this point in time, the Yankees are closer to not making the playoffs than what they are to catching Boston. So that's something to keep an eye on. But with that being said, let's bring our next caller on because he can answer that question because I know he's a Yankees fan. So let's do that, and then we'll go this route with that question. Okay. 404-9680. All right, Lou, you're on
live podcast.
What's up,
fellas?
Ben and Kevin, what's happening, man?
Yeah.
What's up, fellas? It's your boy, Big Nate.
Seven.
How you doing?
What's up, Nate?
How you doing, man?
I guess Lou was scared of you. Once we heard we were bringing you on, he dropped off. But we're going to before we get the F1 update, we're going to bring the question to you, and because we know you represent the NY. Do you think the Yankees have enough left in the tank to hold on to their wild card spot?
Do you think they have enough in the tank to win the wild card? I don't know if they're going to go further than that though in the playoffs. That's my question. Okay.
All right.
I think they can hold on to their wild card spot despite the woes that they have. They have a pretty good lead, and I think that they can they're winning good games here. Blue Jays is not the toughest team out there. I will grant you that. And we got to be able to win some tougher games, plain and simple. The pitching has to do a lot better as far as keeping the score as low as possible and allowing our offense to do what they need to do as far as putting up runs. And
right.
Because, you know, the, a lot of the games that they're losing, they are throwing, you know, they're scoring like 5, 6, 7 runs in the game and still losing. It's just crazy. So that's enough of the pitching from them more than anything. And that's what we have to address. I understand CC being out on injured reserve was a huge blow to us. Judge not being there, yeah, but we can still win games without Judge.
Right.
You know, and so that's the way I'm looking at it from my perspective when I'm watching these games here.
I'm looking at it from a kind of a more of a neutral perspective myself, being down here down south, but I still watch them, you know. And my opinion, just like you made up a great point, and I didn't bring that up, but I was thinking it when I said it about how they're getting these 5, 6 run games and they're still losing. I see them just more being just fatigued, man. I think the mechanics of their team, I don't exactly know. Do they get most people club or what?
Yeah, the whole game.
This particular team actually came up, most of the team came up from the AAA, so this is like a homegrown team here. You know, this particular season, they didn't really go out and you know, sign up, you know, make huge contracts getting guys from, you know, far. They have a couple of guys, you know, from, like, Dominican Republic and everything. But for the most part, this is homegrown. This is all U.S.-bred baseball players here. So, which, you know, I know a lot of people who really do not like the Yankees, you know, they're really getting quiet about that because they're like, oh, you bought your team. No, not this year. And we're still doing pretty good. You know what I mean? So – it's definitely I see what you're saying with the fatigue, and it could be just a lot of road games, you know. I still think it's more of the pitching. I don't think they got the pitching right. That's where I'm leaning on this thing. I think that's the key.
And I think it's twofold. I think when you do have a lot of players coming up through the system, which is really good, because that's where you really want to build your team, and that's how teams will sustain success. Houston Astros being one example. I think that they're playing a longer schedule, so some fatigue will come into play, and they're playing in New York. There's a lot of pressure just playing in New York itself. So that comes with it. And I do believe that pitching hasn't been as strong as they would have liked, but I think when we did our preseason talk about baseball, we said that would be the Yankees' Achilles heel, would be the starting pitching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I will say two things as we keep on this baseball. Let's just keep talking about the baseball thing. I think that teams got fooled. I don't want to say fooled, but I think teams – baseball, more than any other sport, is a copycat league. Like we always – you know, they always say the NFL is a copycat league, right? But I think if you look at things in the way baseball is constructed and the way baseball operates, it's a copycat league. And I'll give you two prime examples. And Kevin, you can agree or disagree because it's going to directly apply to your team. The Dodgers and the Cleveland Indians were two teams in recent years who have tried to shorten up the baseball games by bringing in their best relievers at any time in the game, especially when it came to postseason. And I think both of them, as they both got to the ultimate series, being the World Series, but they both came up short. And I think that you see a lot of other teams trying to emulate that now. And I think the Yankees were thinking that when they went out and traded for Zach Britton, which, if you haven't noticed, I was all over that move. I thought that was a good move specifically for that reason. And I know he hasn't pitched that well. But that formula now doesn't seem to be working as well. And it's better suited to work in the NL than it is in the AL. Because in the NL, you don't have the DH. So it's easier to navigate a lineup, and you can get those matchups a little bit more favorably to yourself. And I think that's why the Dodgers had success and continue to have success. But the other thing that's coming back to start to bite teams, and it's happening to the Dodgers right now, is that you cannot continue to play players out of position, right? You can have one utility player. You can have one Ben Zobrist, but when you – start taking 3 and 4 players and try to move them all around the diamond and in the outfield, that's coming back to bite. And that's what's happening to the Dodgers. The bats are slowing down.
And they're having some injury concerns because, you know, they got one of the best, if not the best closer that's out for a while, and they were already having a problem in the eighth inning. And if you look at the Atlanta Braves, the same thing is happening to the Atlanta Braves that's happening to the Yankees and that's happening to the Dodgers. The Braves are one of the most talented young teams there is, but they got a lot of young talent. These guys might be hitting a wall, and they have no pitching. Their starting pitching was suspect at best.
Yeah.
And they were striving, and their bullpen always had questions. Now they got no closer. They got no settlement. I mean, they lost four games in a row, and two of those games they lost from having a lead going into the ninth inning. It's okay to hit a rough patch because, you know, over 162 games, you're going to hit a rough patch. But it's just like Kevin mentioned earlier, now's the time to not have those rough patches, so to speak, right? So you have to take advantage when you can. And this late in the season, it's not good when you're a younger team and you're blowing leads in the ninth inning. See, April, May, you know, even June, you can sustain that because you can teach it as a learning tool. But as you start getting in to August, and heck, let's just call it September, right? Now teams are really starting to separate themselves. And this is going to be one of the best baseball seasons that we can ever remember, right? Kevin brought up earlier, the Oakland A's were like, what, double digits behind Houston? And they ran them down here at the end of August. Right?
Yeah, that's awesome.
It is awesome, right? And if you go to the page, I posted the thing from MLB Fox, and they show how far they've come in the timeline. But now they're losing to them today, so they're going to be one game back. But they're still going to have a wild card spot, right? Whoever would have thought that the Oakland A's would be able to make that kind of run on the Houston Astros, which we all unequivocally said that they were the best team in baseball. The best race right now, the best races that are shaping up is the NL West, because – listen, here's the thing about the NL West. You got the Diamondbacks, you got the Rockies, and you got the Dodgers. The one thing that all three of those teams have in common is they can all hit. All three of those lineups can rake. Colorado is dangerous at home. The Los Angeles Dodgers have a lineup that can travel. Their lineup is long and deep, so they can beat you at home. They can beat you away. Arizona, they're more of a home-hitting ballpark too, but they got some pitching to go with it. So, to me, Arizona is primed to come out of that division because I think overall they're the better team, you know, when you put all the factors in together. But asking to pick a winner right now out of those three, man, that's going to be hard to do. Now, let's jump to the NL Central, right? I don't know if you guys have been paying attention or how much you know, but you know St. Louis – they jumped into the wild card spot last night by beating the Brewers, right? Yeah, see? Right, sneaky, right? St. Louis was like 8-9 games out. Matt Carpenter got hot, and here comes St. Louis. As the Cubs start to get themselves together and start to show everybody that they're the best team in the National League, they're starting to pull away a little bit, but they lost today, so now they're giving a game back to either Milwaukee or St. Louis, and I think Milwaukee won today, so now Milwaukee – the half game ahead of right. Milwaukee is a half game ahead of St. Louis for that second wild card spot. So here's where things get really interesting, right? And here's where it's at for me. You see the live feed, you see the hat, you see the shirt, you understand what time it is tonight. Phillies put this W on the Mets tonight. They jump back ahead of the Braves by half game for first place. Now that moves the Braves right back to the first wild card spot. I think it gives them a game or maybe a game and a half up. Right? So you got two division leads. Kevin, what's the lead in the NL West? Like a game and a half?
Let me see. I just closed it out. Wait a minute. Let me see.
No problem. It's something like that, right? It's close. I think the Cubs have the biggest division lead, and I think their lead is like two games. Yeah, you understand how tight that is, fellas, all the way around? Because I think like a couple weeks ago when the Phillies had a game and a half lead, they had the biggest lead out of any division leader in the NL. So, you know, we can revisit this because nobody thought that Philly and Atlanta were going to be where they are right now. And I'm telling you right now, I said this earlier about the Dodgers, and it was a tongue-in-cheek comment, but I have to stand by because I said it. But I think we can now put a fork in that in the Washington Nationals. Those guys are two games under 500, I do believe. Listen, a team like that gets what they deserve. They made a bad decision in the front office. They should have never gotten rid of Dusty Baker. They brought in a first-year manager. that had no managerial experience, bringing into a team that really should be wind up and go. For them to not even be fighting for a playoff spot is despicable, and it couldn't happen to a better team, and they're right down 9-5. So, yeah, I feel personal about that. They stink, and I hope they don't win a game for the rest of the year, Kevin Dixon, Nieder Cook, and Ben Roberts. I hope they go 62-99 or 62-100, whatever they can go. I hope that's how they finish.
Was it you or somebody a few weeks ago that called Oakland would be on going on a run? I can't remember who it was, but because I remember I mentioned something about how a couple of decades ago where they changed the way the free agency mm-hmm. worked for baseball, where small city schools could or the city programs could actually ascend. You know.
You know who it was? The guy that's looking up the communities in the NL West. That was the guy that called the Oakland A's run. He called it.
Yeah.
Isn't that
you know
right, Kevin?
You know what's funny about this whole situation is that that Oakland's moving regardless. They're leaving. No, I'm sorry. They're the only team that's going to stay in Oakland, if I'm not mistaken, is the Oakland A's.
Yep, that's correct.
And it's funny now that they're back to winning games because I'm like, yo, this really sucks that you got the Raiders playing good, you got Golden State playing good, and now Oakland's the worst team in the last 2 or 3 years out there as far as winning games. Now all of a sudden they're going to be the lone ranger in Oakland, and now they're back to winning again. It's incredible how things turn around, and you know, we can say we want to say, but we know that there's some shenanigans behind all of that that's going on out there in Oakland because. They can keep the Warriors. They can keep their if they really wanted to. They just don't want to. That's the problem.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's well documented as well about how everything came back to Oakland with all those people coming in. And wanting to put proposals together and everything like that to make that happen, and it just didn't go. And that's kind of the same that they couldn't get the backing that they needed. What are you going to do, Kevin? I mean, it's like this. It would be a good story if they can continue to hold on and pull this off. Because I think that will show some people some things about, you know what, everybody else left, but here we are, we're still here, and we're still representing. You know, we're doing what we can do. And so that's going to be a good story. And Ben, yeah, Kevin's the one that called that run a while back for, so a profit, so to speak.
Yeah.
So, Kevin, you're personally invested in this, right? Who you got coming out of the NL West?
I think it's gonna be the Rockies, man. It's something about them guys. They just won't go away, man. They just won't go away. And the Diamondbacks, I don't know if they can hold on to what they got. But the thing about the Dodgers is without Hensley there, it's gonna be rough for them. I watched them last night. In that game against Seattle, they was down a run, so they tied it up. But they didn't get opportunities to push after that. So I think issues have plagued them the whole season. So I think I don't see the Dodgers making it in. And I don't see neither one of them being the wild card team. I don't see neither one in the wild card race either. So whoever wins the division. Which I'm going to say Colorado, I think, is going to win the division. Diamondbacks and Dodgers outside looking in. And as a Dodger fan, you got to look at what all the moves you made to be where you're at right now. Do you take a chance on trying to keep Manny there? Do you take a chance on bringing in Bryce Harper, you know, which they're willing, they're willing to pay him top dollar, you know, and then – you know, you got all these bats here, so you know you have bats now. I mean, look at Kemp. Nobody thought Kemp was gonna be doing what he's doing right now. You know what I'm saying? So he's playing. He's up until probably 10, 10 or 12 games ago, Eli was in the running for MVP. Now he just slacked off a little bit. But I got to say Colorado. I think Colorado is going to be the team because I told you at the beginning of the year about Colorado. He's like, nah. I said, all right. I said, I'm telling you, watch them.
You did tell us about Colorado. I ain't going to lie about that. I've been on the air the whole time. But I think what's really going to be funny and ironic is how one of those teams might end up getting left out and they're going to have a winning record. And I think you're going to see a lot of teams, especially on the NL side, make it in. And because I don't know.
Or is the first round?
Hold on one second. Oh, sorry about that. How that's going to go with everything being said, because it's going to be tough with that making it in. Like the Phillies and Braves, I don't know if you don't win that division, if you get a wild card. You know what I mean? I think, you know, the Cubs are going to get in. Somebody from the West is going to get in. Somebody from the East is obviously going to get in. But then who picks up that second wild card spot? Will it be the loser of the Braves-Phillies? Will it be the loser of the Brewers or the Cardinals? Or will it be the loser, runner-up or loser, so to speak, of Dodgers, Colorado, and Arizona? And right now, the way that it's looking, it's either going to come from the East or the Central. So that's going to be a good thing to keep an eye on is well, right? To see how that's going to shape up.
And you know, Charles Patrick,
yes, sir.
I've been reading some things about baseball, about them cutting the season short, taking away some games. I wouldn't be surprised if they would expand this I wouldn't be surprised if they expand the playoff.
Mm-hmm.
That wild card game, a 2 out of 3. You guys can just think about that for a minute. You know, let that just marinate a little bit. And if they
I'd
go
like to
back,
discuss this topic.
If they go back to taking away about 30 games, per se, because that's going to shorten the season up tremendously a lot. You know what I'm saying? Or
right.
They can start the season later because, you know, you think about this, you know, this year you had teams like Chicago and the Mets and all them teams didn't play games because the weather was so bad. You know what I'm saying? So they can start the season sooner. You know what I'm saying? I mean, later, when they know the weather's going to be pretty decent. So,
you know what?
That's
go ahead. I'm sorry. That's a real good call, Kevin. I hear you come all this stuff, man, to make us think about things. I like it. But what I also would say is, now, Kevin, we might be telling our age here a little bit. So I don't know if Ben and Nate would be able to keep up with us, but I like the MLB when they had two divisions.
Yeah.
I thought it was a lot more competitive that way, and I thought that you got better matchups, and I think that you were able to get more teams in. And I like the wild card, but I am not a real big fan of the playing game. I really do think that first series should have a little bit more to it, and they've got to figure out the structure of it as well, because you shouldn't have let's say it's an NL West team that gets in, and they're playing in, and they're going to play. They automatically got to match up against their division in the first four series. I think they've got to think about how they want to see that thing out as well. But yeah, man, that could be interesting. Ben, you said you wanted to talk about that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think they desperately need to shorten the season. I think it will benefit them from a farm club standpoint. I think it will benefit them from basically a fan base standpoint. I mean, these seasons, they're just long now. We're not the same type of culture that we used to be. You know, people used to go out to the ball games and be able to hang now, and they're too expensive. They need to reduce. They need to make them more Walmart prices instead of luxury yacht prices for tickets. They need major restructuring of their season in order to help baseball, in my opinion. Well, that's a good suggestion. Cut 30 games from the season. You would be able to get players that can be healthier You'll be able to really develop your farm club system more. It would impact free trade agency more. It would make it game more intense. I mean, like college basketball, or it's just got like 30 games in it, and it's still amazing because they cut games down. I think they cut it from 30 to what, like 26 or something like that, or 28 or something like that. And it works. And it's just the Major League Baseball, in my opinion, and I hate saying it because, you know, it's an American sport, and it's been part of who we are. This 162-game season is just ridiculous.
See, now, I totally disagree there. I don't think anything's wrong with the length of baseball. I think what baseball needs to really work on is taking some of the things back out they implemented or tweak them. They've got to really work on their reviewing or plays or get rid of it. They've got to try to shorten it up a little bit, how much allowing players take to get back in the box, things like that. And one thing about Mexico, which I think is ridiculous, is the shift. I think that if your team is smart enough to figure out where to put their defensive players, then it's on the onus of the offensive player to beat that shift. So they're talking about not being able to have four infielders on one side of the out, on one side of the infield, and they're also talking about not being able to have the short fielder, right? So you know how the second baseman can play short right field. They're gonna talk about putting three players on one side, or if you do four, then everybody has to be on the infield. But
wait,
things like
that.
So they're talking about if they are gonna allow them to have four infielders all on one side, they all have to be on the infield. Nobody can be touching the outfield grass. I think that's something that's gonna happen more so than not. And then also bringing the DH to the NL as well, that's gaining traction because these American League teams and managers are crying about protecting their pitchers, which I think is just crap. So just like when Boston came to Philly this past week, Boston purposely started Chris Sale on Sunday so he didn't have to pitch and hit in the National League Park. But then what is that saying to your other pitchers, though? Oh, Sale doesn't have to hit, but you're going to make us hit. So I just think that things like that really need to be curtailed. Baseball just needs to keep on keeping on, do a better job of marketing its stars, and really worry about the product on the field. But I don't think shortening the season up helps anybody in any sport, to be honest with you. But you know, they're going to do what they got to do. It's, like you said, times are changing, information's changing, and things like that. So with that being said, because that was a good conversation on MLB, do we have anything to talk about in the AL? Are we pretty much sold on the fact that it's Boston, Cleveland, the winner of Houston and Oakland and New York, and then the runner-up in the West is going to take all the playoff spots there?
Yep.
All right. Before we jump into the next topic, and I'm gonna go to Nieder. Nieder, you've been hanging in there with us, man. We talked about Jalen Ramsey at the beginning. Did you have any comments on him and his comments that he made?
I did not catch the beginning. What was the comments made, man? I'm sorry.
No worries. I mean, did you read anything about what this guy said? He pretty much said every quarterback in the NFL is trash. That's basically what he said.
Okay.
I mean, he did give props to a few. Brady's good. Carson Wentz is going to be an MVP. Drew Brees is good. Aaron Rodgers is good. Russell Wilson's good. Eli's
not
that
good.
Yeah.
He's not good. So why is he talking?
He's been a pro bowler. He's been a pro bowler since he's been in the league, right?
Okay, doesn't mean that you're a good quarterback. Jeff Ostetler was in the league. Stop it.
All 2 years of being a all 2 years.
That's
of being
awesome.
I'm just saying.
It's CFL now. Come on.
Stop it.
You're coming out talking all this smack about other players.
You need to worry about your own game. Before you start talking about other players, you need to be worried about your own game. And honestly, if you know if the guys on top aren't really talking that much smack about other quarterbacks, there's a reason. Because because they know at any given moment someone can top them. You know, Tom Brady said that in this interview he did with Oprah Winfrey not too long ago. And he was like, yeah, I still don't think that I'm the best quarterback out there. And that's what drives me to do better. And as good as Tom Brady is, and as much accolades we can all give him, whether you want to blame him on Belichick or himself or his offensive line or whatever you want to say, he is a really great quarterback. He won't give himself that credit. And that shows you his workmanship. And for you to come out here, one went good. All right? I don't care what team. You could be on in the NFL. You got there by chance. The way I'm looking at your play. So I don't got respect for you in that. Now. You know what I mean? Like when go far in the playoffs, you know, start winning a couple of Super Bowls and then start talking your smack if that's what you want to do. But then also remember, you're putting a target on yourself. And other guys who feel that they're disrespecting their quarterback, other defenses, they are now going to target you. They'll take the penalty and the fine for that target. They say it's worth it. And that's one of the things you could have done to yourself right there.
Well, here's what's going to happen to him. We talked about this earlier, and we said that opposing wide receivers are going to be coming at him even harder now. I mean, he's got to cover DeAndre Hopkins twice. He's got to go against Andrew Luck twice, and he's got to go against Marcus Mariota twice, notwithstanding the outside games that they're going to have to go through. So he's going to have a tough hold to tail. And we said earlier that we hope that he has the mental capacity to deal with that because his cornerback is going to get dissected by everybody from a lot of different angles. You put a target on his back, and maybe like somebody posted earlier in the group, maybe you put that target on his back specifically so everybody can stop talking about his own quarterback, which is Blake Bortles. Maybe that's the method behind his madness. I don't know. But listen, we're going to go into another topic real quick, but I want you to go ahead and give us an F1 update before we move on to Urban Meyer.
Oh, absolutely. Look, guys, I know folks might have been looking for a Formula One race. You guys have been off for the most part of August. This is our summer break. However, there's been some big moves made during this off season. Number one, Daniel Ricciardo leaving Red Bull, going to Renault. And I personally think the Renault car is just as good as the Red Bull, if not better, but more reliable. It's going to be a very interesting season next year for Formula One. Number two, Fernando Alonso is retiring at the end of this season of Formula One. He is leaving McLaren and going to IndyCar. And I got three teams that are probably vetting the hell out of him right now. That will be Chip Ganassi, Team Penske, and Team Andretti right now. Not to put money on it, I'll probably say Penske because he has more money to give Fernando Alonso. And the Chevys are running really, really hard right now in IndyCar. And if you watched the race in Pocono today, Team Andretti just won over there in Pocono, putting them back in contention to winning a championship this year. So it's getting really, really hot in the world of IndyCar, and this is going to be something to definitely keep your eyes on. However, there is a B clause to Fernando Alonso's retirement. He says, hey, McLaren, in 2 years, if you're able to build a car that is a contender for a world championship, meaning that they are winning podiums, he said he'll return back to Formula One. So that is huge news. And he is the type of guy, he's 37 years old. He has enough gas in his motor to do it. He has a driver intuition, a driver IQ, and I wouldn't put it past him provided the situation was right for him. And I think that he definitely deserved it after everything that's going on. So those are three different things. Lewis Hamilton, by the way, in the next 3 years, he'll be worth, he'll be adding to his fortune $158 million off this 3-year extension. All right, you add that with the other contract he had. In 6 years, he's made $336 million, ladies and gentlemen. Put that in perspective for you.
Yeah, that makes it hurt a little bit more. Thanks, Nita. Appreciate that.
Also, one quick thing. This is just general car knowledge. I just want to throw this out there. Everybody's right. talking about, a lot of people are still talking about how Dodge is making the best American muscle car. I'm just talking about muscle cars here, American muscle car. And I'm going to tell you, no. The actual best muscle car out on the road now will be the Cadillac CTS Spec V. It is the most reliable and has one of the highest top speeds out of all the muscle cars that are on the road. Mind you, a muscle car has to have a back seat along with a V8 push rod engine in it. So that is a definition. Is the Corvette is not a part of that equation whatsoever. So that puts you with the Dodge Hellcat, the Challenger Hellcat, and Ford Mustang, and the Chevy Camaro. And the Cadillac CTS Spec V is, I'm telling you this right now, is the best American muscle car you can get that will actually survive all your daily driving and actually can turn left and right.
Well, that's going to make somebody very happy. We got a Cadillac owner on the lines with us, so I'm sure that's going to make them happy to hear that kind of news. new Cadillac owner too at that, you know. So we know how we're living. The CEO got it going on.
Well, don't get cocky, because the minute you start going against the European supercars, that's beyond your limit.
I posted
a video not too long ago of a guy who had the Dodge Demon, the Challenger Demon, and he thought he could beat himself a McLaren 720S and got beat by 2.5 car lengths on the quarter mile race. That is up his alley, and got destroyed. Mind you, the McLaren has 130 horsepower less than that Demon. I keep telling folks, stay in your lane. Just like that QB, just like that guy who was talking smack about all the garbage quarterbacks. No, you garbage, man. Stay in your lane. Work on your game.
Hey, Nate.
What's up?
Hey, Nate.
What's up?
Nate.
I can hear you. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, again, I want to thank you for allowing the Boston Celtics to be the team that they're going to be in the future because of what the Brooklyn Nets did for us. I'll invest in you for the next 10 years. I just want to say thank you. Every chance I get, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise you for that.
Kev, our downfall when we went across the river from New Jersey into Brooklyn. So that's when it hit the fan for us, so to speak. All right. So.
Oh my God, that is funny, man. So you know, Kevin, you always say big time players make big time plays, man. It's a big time game right now. My Phillies are 2-0 at the top of the second inning, man. Come on. Anyway. I digress. Kevin, man, let's talk about Urban Meyer, man. We talked about him last week.
Yeah, let's talk about Urban.
Yeah, somebody had asked a question or put the poll on in my group, and the question was, is the Maryland scandal taken away from the Urban Meyer situation? And when I looked at it, I was like, that's a very good question. And I asked my wife that question, and she said no, because they're two different scenarios. And I say unequivocally, yes, the Maryland scandal has taken away or the spotlight off Urban Meyer. And
I agree.
And I say that because we talked about this last week, Ben and I, and for people that don't really understand the ramifications of this, it's not that if he didn't know, it's the fact that he didn't report it, and he's bound by Title IX. Not only is he bound by Title IX, but his wife is bound by Title IX. Now, there is a guy in our group, Kevin Satterfield. He published an article probably about a month ago about the kid that played at University of Michigan and Michigan State that was with the Houston Texans. And he got cut from the Texans because he was found guilty of assault underneath the Title IX guidelines. Now, mind you, no criminal charges were ever brought against him because the local authority and everybody didn't have enough evidence to do anything with this guy.
but he lost the job, and he's like 25 years old. So the ramifications of what Urban Meyer didn't do, but I'm going to stick to what he didn't do, is appalling to me. The fact that Ohio State is saying the investigation is supposed to be done today. Now they're taking a stand saying, well, the investigation is going to be done when the investigation is going to be done. And now the Mets have a 4-0 lead. So I'm going to turn my hat on backwards already here for the second inning. this is just crazy talk right here, man. Yeah, that's how serious it is, Kev. But, I honestly believe that Urban Meyer is going to end up getting a pass here, and I don't think that he should.
Man, he better not. We discussed this last week. I don't think he can last there.
Neither do I. I don't see him getting a pass for this, for the simple fact that Ohio State's been in the limelight for the last two coaches for things kind of totally supposedly out of their control. But it doesn't really matter. You're head coach, okay? And when they win, you get all the accolades. When they lose, you get all the accolades. So everything else goes along with that as well. The thing with Urban Meyer that really bothers me is that now all this other stuff is coming out, and this guy had to know what this guy was into. This dude was a freak. I mean, he literally was a freak. You know, and the thing about this, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, but you know, if you're married and you're doing things outside your marriage, that's a whole different ballgame, you know. But Urban Meyer knew what this guy was into, you know what I'm saying? He knew back when, and he never did anything about it. Now, he can sit and say he told whoever he's supposed to tell, but there was no reprimand behind what he did a couple years ago. Because, you know, we didn't hear anything about this 2 years ago, what he did. You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, I'm going to smack your hands, don't do it again. Type of thing, you know what I'm saying? So, Urban gets a pass for this, the whole game will be an uproar about this, because first thing they're gonna talk about is Joe Paterno situation. That's the first thing will come to a head. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We're talking about two different scenarios, you know. Even though you're talking about young men, you're talking about a woman here, and what she's going through and what she's put husband to at the same token, but he knew, and if he said that, say he told the people that he needed to tell, and if he told about what the coach did, then from the AD on down, needs to go.
Here's my take on it, and this is where I'm going to come from. And I said this last week. This guy is a disgusting individual. He abused his wife. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about the abuse that he put on her and the pressure that she got from the booster and all these close people to Urban Meyer when they were down in Florida is just despicable. I urge you all to go out and read that Murphy's article and it's all in there. That's how I was hip to Urban Meyer's wife being a nurse for Ohio State, so she's bound by Title IX to report it as well, and she didn't. So he knew, because there's no way all the wives on the staff can know, and his, including his own wife, and not know. But the thing that happened already last year, right, and I brought this up, and I'll bring it up again just for argument's sake, right? Sean Miller got away with being on tape by the FBI, paying a player. The only person that has lost her job on this scandal so far has been Rick Pitino. So, to me, that's a way bigger issue than what's going on here about not reporting or reporting domestic violence situation. The fact that this man has not been fired right away and they're behind closed doors trying to figure out their exit strategy or more importantly, their cover-up strategy, to me, is how he survives this. It's been 2 weeks. They're in cahoots with all the big networks. Remember I said this last week, Ben, that it took ESPN 3 hours to even broach the subject in Urban Meyer, right? This is being reported everywhere. Everybody else is talking about it, but ESPN is taking 3 hours before they even bring it up. But yet, ESPN was the one that wanted to leak the story about the culture at Maryland football, right? Because now, mind you, being here, this thing has been done and over with, right? Young man, he passed out from heat, you know, streak stroke and all that. There was nothing being said, nothing else being done about it. You know, sad tale. Now all of a sudden, you know, after you mentioned ESPN wasn't doing their job anymore and investigating anything, they released this bombshell about the culture, and now other players are speaking out. You know, the kid that played for the Browns, Kevin, talking about how he was treating the players and talking to the players when he was a defensive coordinator at Michigan Peppers. You know, he shed some light on it. So to me, if you can't come out and already make a decision about what you're going to do with Urban Meyer, yeah, it might have been great to put him on administrative leave or whatever you want to call that little nonsense, right? But the fact that this man still has a job to this day is appalling in the least, right? And his wife still has her job, right? See, that's something we're not going to hear about, right? We're not going to hear about how she failed the young lady and how she failed the Title IX as well, right? But Urban Meyer has a history of this, right? So this is why I keep saying read Brett Murphy's article, because you'll see in there was two different players that got caught for domestic violence, right, at Ohio State. One player was a star running back, so Urban Meyer let him play. The other guy was a star running back but not as good, but he suspended him for a couple games. Star player was guilty. The non-star player was not guilty. So he has a history of picking and choosing about what he wants to discipline and what he wants to say. And then Kevin, I don't know if you were on last week when I said this, right? Think about the Ezekiel Elliott case, right? Not the parameters surrounding Ezekiel Elliott, but Ezekiel Elliott's testimony. Remember what he said on record last year about how he did every drug known to man while he was at Ohio State?
Yeah.
All right. Right? Now, go back to Florida. Aaron Hernandez. Aaron Hernandez was allowed to play at Florida because of Urban Meyer. New England Patriots or the NFL didn't know about Aaron Hernandez's gang affiliation with all his juvenile records, because guess what coach played a key part in keeping those records sealed and never to be open? Guess who the coach was?
Urban Meyer.
You got it. Ever since Urban Meyer left Utah, his morals left with him. Right.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, that's what good way of saying it.
It's the truth. It's the truth.
It's probably the reason why he left Utah, not because it was a small school, but just because they probably kept tabs on it.
Right. You know, you can't get away with that stuff out there in Mormon country, right? So
yeah, they will come down on you.
There it is. So ever since he left Utah, when he had Alex Smith and brought Utah to prominence, things went downhill, right? He had a good program in Florida. How are you going to have Aaron Hernandez and Tim Tebow on the same team? How does that work? As you said before, Kevin, let that sink in. How does that work? And then you go to Ohio State, which is notoriously, Kevin, we know this from being up north, from Thad Matta to anybody else you want to talk about, is one of the most corrupt universities there is in the NCAA. We can talk about the SEC and the South schools about how bad they are, but if you start peeling back that onion at Ohio State and you start going back to all them coaches in Ohio State's history, you'll find out how dirty Ohio State is to all their programs, not just football, all their programs. And, Kevin, you and I know that firsthand. So this is why I firmly believe that this man, if he doesn't come down with another heart problem, he's going to be coaching Ohio State on their opening football game.
That'd be interesting. I think they should get rid of him. If they can't get opening weekend, they need to get rid of him and make game 4 or 5, just do an interim head coach. I don't see from a lawsuit standpoint, I don't think Ohio State would want to risk like a $100 million-plus lawsuit situation. And they can pay Urban Meyer, what, like $38, $36 million to buy him out and say goodbye.
See, but here's the thing. You know, you say that, and I hear you, but what lawsuit would they really face? I mean, because at the end of the day, the only thing that he might have done is violate Title IX. But he's also in breach of his contract, because you guys know, right, in his contract, if he's made aware of any domestic violence whatsoever, he has to report it.
Yep.
That's in his contract too, Kevin, if you weren't aware of that part.
But you know, this is the thing, though, that and see, what a lot of people are not realizing is that by him saying he reported it to the AD or whoever in Ohio State, now I put them on blast. You know what I'm saying? They definitely get involved with the AD to find to go to the AD and say, okay, if you knew this happened, he told you it happened, why didn't you report it? You know what I'm saying? So see, a lot of people this is going to have a triple. It's going to have a boulder effect going down the hill. Every person involved is going to get touched, regardless if it's from the water boy, guy at the gate. If he knew about it, they're all going to be, they all should be gone. It's simple as that.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right, Kevin. No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
You have to report that regardless if you want to or not. And the thing about it is, I would respect him more. I would respect Urban Meyer more if he would report and say, look, I reported it, and I gave him, he got suspended for like 3 games during the season, whatever, with no pay. Okay, you did something about it, I can understand. You know what I'm saying? But the thing that really gives me surprise is even down there in Florida, we had Fernandez down there. He elevated that guy's career because he did everything he was into. And when they went to the Patriots, if I'm not mistaken, I don't think the Patriots knew everything about him. But I think that his criminal record probably was sealed at that time for him to go there, and I would be surprised if he gave Urban Meyer the kickback because he got hurt.
It absolutely was sealed, and that's the part I was talking about, that Urban Meyer played a big record in that, because all these things are coming out now posthumously about Aaron Hernandez, about how much trouble he actually was in before he even went to Florida. And I'm not one to speak ill of the dead, so I'll leave him alone in general because it's just about him. But, and Kevin, you brought up a good point, and that just really fuels my argument even more, or more my belief even more, because if you're comfortable with getting in front of microphones and saying at a press conference, oh, yeah, no, I didn't report this, and then a day or two later coming out saying, you know what, I misspoke. I absolutely did report this. Well, then you know that you're okay. Because you don't get up and say one thing in front of the cameras and then come back and say a different thing if you haven't had some kind of assurance that you're going to be okay. You know what, that this whole situation reminds me of the movie Blue Chip, right? Remember when Nick Nolte, he couldn't take it anymore? You know what I'm talking about, right? Remember when he did the press conference and he was like, oh, heck, happy? What did we do? We gave him money. We gave him a sponsor. So we gave this guy this and gave the guy this. This is what this reminds me of. Right there, that whole situation right there, except for Nick Nolte didn't have those assurances. He knew that once he came out, that he was going to lose his job and never be able to coach again. This is what I'm saying. When you make power moves, or you're in a power conference, or you're in a power university, you can't come back and say, oh, I did do this and do that without having some assurances that you're not going to face any repercussions. Situation Joe Gorbachev to his grave, man. That's real simple, right? So everybody knows that Urban Meyer's going to reach up for his chest and talk about his chest hurting again. I think Urban Meyer's going to reach into his back pocket for his checkbook because his checkbook is going to keep coming. Well, I just firmly believe that. There is nothing, there's been nothing done, nothing been said to make me think otherwise, and I think that's a travesty. And it's the same thing that I said last week, and I'll say it again, that in the NCAA, the coaches have all the power and get the least punishment, but they come down so hard on players, whether it's transferring to another school, whether it's academics, whether it's trouble. I mean, the players just suffer from these grown men's transgressions, and nothing happens to them.
I'm looking up stuff right now, and I just had up. I deleted it, but go ahead and keep on talking.
No worries. Yeah, no worries, because I think like you said, it's gonna have to come down to the right booster being pissed off, Kevin. The right booster is gonna have to be the ones like, oh heck no, he can't be throwing my alma mater underneath the bus like that and get away with it. I think that's gonna come down to. Maybe a top female booster that's disgusted by the behavior of this coach, especially when we're hearing about all these other things, players being delivered to the university, taking pictures, of itself. And you got to understand, Ben, I know you said last week that him and his wife had a toxic relationship, but, one of the things is this, right? This man brought another woman to his house to spend the night while his wife was there and pregnant with their child.
right?
Yeah.
He understands that's where some of it started. And then she worked for Ohio State, too. Now, you know, the story goes, you know, that her friends, you know, and she and her boyfriend number just broke up. But, you know, and this man is choking his wife while she's pregnant and doing despicable things to her. And then his fetish side is starting to come out, man. It's just, I don't know, fellas. I mean, again, I just haven't seen anything on Ohio State's part that leads me to believe that they're going to get rid of this man. And anytime that your prominent people come out and say the investigation is going to be over when the investigation is going to be over, man, that's killing me. And then you got, and then here's the funny part, which I don't know. I'm about to go in Ohio, on the state of Ohio. How are you going to show up at Ohio State University rallying for this coach? You don't care about what happened to this young lady. You don't care that she was being choked, kicked, punched while carrying this man's child. You don't care that they were duty bound to report this by Title IX and they didn't do this. Not only did Urban Meyer not do it, his wife didn't do it. And then take a look at this, fellas. None of the other wives or the assistant coaches did anything. None of the assistant coaches or Urban Meyer staff did anything. So you got a whole immoral staff of people running your college football program, but yet you take your behinds out there in lawn chairs, folding chairs, picnic chairs, Indian-style chairs, and you're going to support this man. How can you do that? But then yet, well, I shouldn't be too surprised because I'm going political here for a minute. I mean, Mike Pence is from Ohio, so that does kind of explain a lot, right? Yeah, I went there. But it just kills me. Yeah, you got it. That's right. You feel me. And I'm the last person to go there, but I went there tonight. Dagnabbit. But it just amazes me how we get upset about certain things and certain people, but then we let certain things slide. But yet, it amazes me how we treat women, how we just turn a blind eye till something happens to a woman. Like, the same thing at Penn State, Kevin. If it wouldn't have been young girl, it wouldn't have been such a big deal. If it would have been a coach having sex with an underage girl or raping a girl, they'd have been like, oh, okay, you know, that's kind of how it happened. But seeing the fact that it was young men, that's something that you just can't fathom, right? Same thing at Mississippi State. You can't fathom that doctor doing that to so many young girls, right? Because when you're a father or when you have a sister, that affects you totally differently, right? But apparently not in the state of Ohio. It's just okay just to violate people and just be corrupt and just walk around making millions of dollars. Because our football team is one of the best in the country. Because he's going to win us a national title. So, you know, they got songs out there. They say bros before hoes. So I guess it's national titles before women, I guess, in Ohio. I don't know. I wish I had an Ohio State fan calling in here that supported Urban Meyer so they could tell me how that works. Because for the life of me, I can't understand it. For me, it doesn't even come down to football. To me, it just comes down to being a good human being. If you're duty bound to do something, then you have to uphold that duty no matter how it's going to in your place of employment. You have to report that. And let's be clear, the dude was in a different place. He wasn't like he was the next guy in line. So what is it that made Urban Meyer so long? Does he have the key? Does he have the key to the Holy Grail? Because I understand that the comments are made if he goes down and take a whole lot of people with him. So what does he know? What does he have on Urban Meyer that Urban Meyer protected him? Not only at one university, but at two universities.
Well, to be truthful, I never really thought of it until you actually said it, was how he lost his moral compass when he got away from Utah. Because I always wondered why he would leave Utah. Because remember, when he was there, they already were going transferring into Pac-12. He could have just kept momentum going there and not even came to Florida. But, you know, I always thought that was interesting. And I guarantee your theory's right. And Utah, just like BYU and other schools, they ain't going to take it because they're the Mormon country.
Well, thank you. Right. It's amazing, right? Because if you go back, and I think I did this a while back, I think I asked the question, who was Alex Smith? Who was Alex Smith's college quarterback? I mean, college coach. A lot of people don't know. A lot of people forget that Urban Meyer was even at Utah. Right?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you this right now. I said this last week, and I stand by it, and I'll say it every day till I'm blue in the face. That's going to be a long time. Hey, Corey Cagle, shut your mouth. He's talking about the Phillies are trash. Rick Pitino, Art Briles, Urban Meyer, the three worst coaches ever in NCAA history on any level, ever.
And you – And you know what, though, man? I really respect Rich Pitino. I really had a lot of respect for him as a college coach.
I meant John Calipari. That's what I meant to say. But we could put Pitino in there as well. But I meant John Calipari.
He came out and said he didn't know anything that was going on. I mean, we knew he was lying. We knew he was lying. Come on, man. Come on.
Disney.
Come on, Rick.
Absolutely.
And even with Calipari, there's some questions. I mean, you know, like they were supposed to be doing this big investigation. All the coaches are doing the wrong thing, you know, and so I don't know if they're still investigating it or not. But Rick Pitino is the only one that really got hammered. Then you looked at the guy, the assistant coach, a couple assistant coaches with Alabama, I think it was. I can't remember who the guy was. But the big schools haven't been touched yet. You know what I'm saying? And Calipari, I met Calipari. I didn't like him. You know what I'm saying? His demeanor was not he was a very arrogant person. If you listen to him talk, he always talks that way regardless. You know, win, lose, or draw, he talks that way. I don't know if that's confidence or cockiness to me, but I didn't care too much for him. That's when he was looking at the Morris brothers, the twin brothers, going to Kentucky, and they end up going to Kansas, I think it was.
Right, that's where they went.
I didn't care too much for him the first time I met him, you know. But these guys, the thing about it is, they're doing stuff, and they're doing stuff like it's okay to do, and okay, I'm fine with it. I'll deal with it when I deal with it. But man, the way social media is now today, anybody get a whiff of you doing something wrong, trust and believe they're gonna investigate it, and TMZ gonna pay them all kind of money to get that information, and then you're gonna look like a fool.
There it is. It is what it is. Ohio State has apparently made their bet. Now they got to lie in it with this guy. I guess we'll just sit back like the rest of America, just wait, and then we can talk about it when it happens. But boy, oh boy, oh boy, and you bring up a good point when you talk about Rick Pitino. Pitino went down for something that his assistant coach did, right? He went down for having knowledge of it, right? And of course he had to have knowledge, right? So that is what it is. But then, yeah, Sean Miller is on tape. He misses one game, and that wasn't even a suspension. They just told him not to coach a game, and he's back, and that just goes away. I just don't know. I mean, you know, the big thing at USC with the gynecologist, right, violating them young women. You know, you don't hear nothing about that anymore, right? You know what I mean? It's just, listen, NCAA was MOE, period. That's at the end of the day, that's what it is. That's what it is. NCAA equals MOB. Straight up. No chaser. I mean, that's just, it's just amazing to me. So they just gonna come out on their lawn chairs and protest and rally. I don't get it. I just don't understand. I might have to ask somebody though, to talk to us about this Urban Meyer situation that has boots on the ground. I mean, because we had a lot of people in the group defending this man, saying he's not a dirty coach and this and that. And I just find that hard to believe that people can really take that stance. And I know discretion is the better part of valor when all the facts aren't in there, but there's nothing that suggested that he's not a dirty coach. That's just the culture. See, I didn't play college ball, so I really don't know what the culture is like. You know, I went to defend our country, so I can talk about that, but when I hear former people, you know, people that played college ball talk about that, then I just gotta ask them, then what the hell is wrong with you? You know what I mean? That you can't speak up. But I don't know. I mean, our country is survival and fitness. But, you know, from where I'm sitting, Urban Meyer looks real fit. I don't know about you, fellas.
And if you think about the situation with Ezekiel Elliott there, look how quiet that was while he was there. And then once he left, everything came out of the closet dealing with him. And he came out for stuff that he did. And we had one guy come on and said Ezekiel Elliott was a model person at Ohio State. He never did nothing wrong. He never got speeding tickets. He never did this. Then after he leaves, he says, well, you know what? I did that.
Right.
I tried. I, you know what I'm saying? So you just hear me want to say.
Don't forget Maurice Claret.
Yeah,
oh,
Claret. Yeah, that's it. That's the other guy. Maurice Claret. I couldn't think of that. I couldn't think of the other guy. I mean, now
I get cool points for that one.
Yeah, you do. Big time cool points for that one. That's a good recall. I'm telling you. We sit here and we think, and I'm digging into the archives. I'm telling you, I can go back and we can pull out so many scandals that are involving Ohio State. It's just ridiculous. I'm telling you, just look at their basketball program and you'll hear what I'm saying. But listen,
our
time is up. We went over last week and I cannot afford to go over time this week, even with the CEO on the line. I appreciate both of you fellas calling in and hanging out with me on a Sunday night. It's been a real good show. For y'all in the live feed, please check out the rebroadcast of this. Kevin Dixon, tell everybody when your show is tomorrow so we can be ready.
I'm on from 7 to 9. Today's 19th.
Yeah,
I'm looking at my the 20th, the 27th, and I think the first Monday in September, they'll be on from 7 to 9. After that, I'll be on from 6 to 8. So I want you guys to enjoy that Monday Night Football that's coming on. So I'll be on 6 to 8 from that point on. Doing football season. Tomorrow we're gonna do something a little different. We're gonna have Takora Conley. She's gonna be on the air. She's gonna do a segment. She's gonna talk about preseason injuries. How do you prevent them, or do you cut the preseason back? Mainly you're looking at look at Washington. They're looking at AP now as a running back. Look at Minnesota. They've lost like 6 linemen, so they're gonna be in trouble. And she wants to touch on Serena Williams. I'm going to talk about. I'm not going to tell you guys which the Keep It Real segment is going to be about tomorrow. But I'm going to talk about Magic Johnson. If he's getting enough credit, too much credit, or not enough credit at all for bringing LeBron James out to L.A., this is going to be real interesting because I know there's a lot of Laker fans out there that love Magic, and I'm a Magic Johnson fan too. But I'm going to say this. You're going to be surprised by what I have to say about Magic Johnson. So I'm on from 7 to 9 tomorrow. Call-in number is 929-477-3688.
Sounds good. We will be back next week from 6:30 to 8. I got a special show. It's going to be all my hometown classmates calling in. We're going to talk about our summers of playing baseball together. It's going to be a little different take. It will be my last show on Sunday night. So stay tuned for that announcement next week. We'll be back. 6:38. Thanks for calling in, guys. Thanks for the love and the live feed. We will see you all next Sunday night. Good night.